Welcome back.
Top of the second hour. This Monday, November 21st, 2016. It's a sad day in the Republic, and the State of the Union is it's in tatters, and we are being balkanized, pitted against one another. It's a recipe that has perhaps been perfected by the suggestibilists. They don't do anything. It's interesting. We have our founding documents. We still have the Constitution. We still have the Declaration of Independence. We have learned and grown, hopefully, through history, the course of American history. And yet, have we? In some ways, yes, perhaps. In others, perhaps not. And so here we find ourselves again, I would say, victimized by our success, so to speak, lulled to sleep by the success of the great American experiment, losing touch with the warnings of the founders. I've mentioned many of those, but again, you know, we played the Reagan clip. I've mentioned these words. I'll say it again. Reagan was right when he said, if we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. It is a dangerous this government, as Washington put it, how did he say it? It's a a dangerous servant and a fearful master, something like that. Dangerous. It's very challenging to think that this form of government could continue if we are uneducated. The founders echoed that sentiment as well. I mentioned Jefferson's words with regularity. So just to touch on that real quick. James Madison, the father of the Constitution, known by most as the father of the Constitution, a well-instructed people alone can be permanently free, can be a permanently free people. A well-instructed people alone. George Washington, a primary object should be the education of our youth in the science of government. In a republic, what species of knowledge can be equally important, and what duty more pressing than communicating it to those who are to be the future guardians of the liberties of the country? Now, we have these, you know, the American Music Awards was on last night, and to me that was an overt display of utter debauchery. It was us glorifying in our shame, glorying in our shame as Americans, if you will. And very strange. At Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles. What is that? Microsoft Theater. Very strange. And it looked like Microsoft Theater. You know, the if you saw any of the highlights or anything, it was, you know, if you go back to, I would compare to Irving Berlin's White Christmas, for example. One of my favorite movies. Irving Berlin was the consummate hopeless romantic, I believe. If you read his personal story, it's fascinating and easy to see if that was who he truly was, how he was able to write music that endures to this day. Always is a song he wrote that endures to this day. And if, you know, we would do well in America to have more folks like Irving Berlin. He was an immigrant, but endeared himself to America and was wonderful. If I remember the story correctly, there was some controversy in his marriage to Ellen MacKay. Her father was vehemently opposed to their marriage because Irving Berlin was Jewish. They were Catholic. And her father opposed it, said, you know, that he would disown her and write her out of the will if she married Irving Berlin. So Berlin assigned the rights to his most successful works to her just to reassure her that she would never suffer from want as a result of marrying him. In other words, he was showing her that he intended to take care of her, and that was, I'm sure, very reassuring. So I believe Always was included in the songs to which he assigned the rights to her. Anyway, today we have prenuptial agreements and things like that, which to me is just a license to fail. If you're gonna do that, then you obviously, the two are not going to become one flesh. You have these things that you will withhold, and we have lost our way. But this is representative of who we are in America. So we had the American Music Awards last night. We could have today, there is the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. We have those kinds of game shows. Why don't we have a constitutionally oriented game show if we're going to do that? Or a show that would educate our youth in the science of government, as George Washington put it. Where are those shows? Key and Peele, who have a show on Comedy Central, have done a skit parodying ESPN and sports networks. And their spin on it is essentially, what if educators were the high-profile, highly paid celebrities of our society? And the skit takes that view. They do an ESPN for educators, if you will. It's pretty funny. It's just a different look at our overindulgent, apathetic, and vacuous society. We should be embarrassed. We should be ashamed. We should be quiet, I think, as Americans. We should be silent until we rectify these issues, until we remedy this issue. We are, as a nation, it would seem, the least intelligent, the most boisterous and outspoken. And it's very sad, very unfortunate. And it goes all the way to the top. You know, Barack Obama has been very charismatic throughout his tenure as the president, the man tapped to occupy the Oval Office. But he has been beguiling the masses in a very charismatic fashion. Now we're going to have Donald Trump, more overt, more blatant and brazen in his outspokenness. Meanwhile, Well, I digress. Last thing I'll say, we'll go to a couple of clips because we got to get to the news of the day. Thomas Jefferson. Again, ironically, Teresa Sullivan, the president of University of Virginia, an organization founded by Jefferson, quoting Jefferson, received backlash as a result. But Thomas Jefferson, well, these were his words on the matter, say whether peace is best preserved by giving energy to the government. Think about it. Say whether peace is best preserved by giving energy to the government or information to the people. Now, it's kind of ironic because in America, the people are supposed to be the government. But say whether peace is best preserved by giving energy to the government or information to the people. This last, that is, information to the people, is the most certain and the most legitimate engine of government. Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. Enable them to see that it is their interest to preserve peace and order, and they will preserve them. And it requires no very high degree of education to convince them of this. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. I always marvel at that concept. I wonder what he thought, what went through his mind when he wrote the words, it requires no very high degree of education to convince them of this. Because I'll tell you what, it doesn't seem easy from my standpoint. It seems rather difficult, in fact. I want to get to the clips that demonstrate this, the unbelievable controversy between Donald Trump and Mitt Romney, and how that reared its ugly head in the public square. I mentioned Senator Elizabeth Warren, etc., etc. But for now, let's we'll begin by going to the phones. Let's go to the phones real quick. Phone lines are open. 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Let's go to the phones and grab Wes in Idaho. Wes, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call, Chris. My question would be just...
You bet, Wes.
My question would be just what is virtue? Keep hearing RBN's favorite call and caller, Renee from North Carolina, talk about the Council for National Policy. So I went to look up this group. They are for limited government, traditional values, and a strong national defense. They are a 501c3 group that does not lobby Congress, does not support any candidates, or issue a policy statement. Some of their members are Pat Boone, Love Letters in the Sand, and James Dobson, Focus on the Family. Peter Grace, is that the guy that did the Grace Commission? I believe so. Alan Keyes, a black guy that ran for president a few years back. Larry McDonald, John Birch Society member that was shot down years ago over Korea by USSR, Russia. Chuck Missler, who is a pastor in North Idaho. Stan Monteith, who passed away a while ago. there for the Tea Party people. Now, I have found a lot of information on the internet about this group, Council for National Policy, put up by the Southern Poverty Law Center. See, Southern Poverty Law Center says that this group bashes lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transsexuals. So I guess Renee from North Carolina is for lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transsexuals. And I guess it's a right for a transsexual.
Yes, I think you know that's a straw man point. That's not fair to say. I don't think that's, you know, that's a logical fallacy to make that jump. I don't think that's fair. You can't imply or insinuate that. I don't think. Just because someone renounces a group, you know, that's I think that's a stretch. Anyway, that would be putting words in her mouth. But we should try to keep it on point. You mentioned virtue. And I don't think that's showing high moral standards to make that kind of a leap. So,
Chris, do you like Rush Dooney? I do. Do you know who Rush Dooney is? You're into books. Hello? Do you know who Rush Dooney is?
Of course.
He's quite an author. He has a book on the Ten Commandments that's just fascinating. I mean, if we're not going to hold to the Ten Commandments, we're not going to survive as a people. If we accept abortion and lesbians and gays and bisexuals, and we're gonna go by the wayside. The Ten Commandments are survival laws. We have to follow them. And Renee is telling me to know this Council for National Policy is bad, bad, bad. They're into traditional values. And I started out asking, what is virtue, Chris?
Let's define terms, Wes. Wes, what is virtue? Let's define terms.
I say the Ten Commandments. I say the Bible. What would you say?
Well, I would agree. I would go beyond that, too. Let's talk about that.
I say we dump the Southern Poverty Law Center. I say...
it's ironic. It's ironic we see... You know, I was reading a news story over the weekend. The ACLU filed a Freedom of Information Act request. The ACLU is an organization, I would say, which was conceived in evil. It has become now sort of a light, speaking of virtue, in a very bizarre twist. You know, these organizations that were once created to subvert America, we have gone so far, we have become so corrupt that now even the institutions that were ill-conceived are now more virtuous than the vast majority of America.
Illegal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
On the phones, we have Wes in Idaho on the line. Wes, you mentioned virtue. You said the Ten Commandments. That's the reference point for virtue. I think that's. I would agree. You're talking about the Council for National Policy, the CNP, and a group that advocates what you stated. Sure, that sounds good, but to draw an apt parallel, don't the Masons do the same thing? The Masonic fraternal organizations do the same thing. Their slogan is to make good men better. Isn't that good? You know what the Shriners do and all of these other organizations. I'm obviously not a fan of any of the Masonic organizations, but it ends up being the same thing. And speaking of the Council for National Policy, and I mentioned Barbara Aho's site, Watch Unto Prayer, earlier. She's done a lot of research on the Council for National Policy, and I would perhaps encourage you to look at her research. That's a good compendium of information to get knowledge up quickly. And you can see how it, like all of those kinds of groups that meet in secret, those fraternal organizations, whether they begin as ill-conceived organizations or whether they get hijacked along the way, seems the end result is always the same. And the CNP is no different in my research. So I think that's where that discussion goes, in my opinion. And as far as virtue is concerned, the Ten Commandments are, well, the way Paul put it in Romans 13, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, obviously a few of the Ten Commandments. And if there is any other commandment, Paul wrote, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. I think the discussion begins and ends there, and that to me would be the pinnacle of virtue. What do you think?
I think they have good virtues on and values. My problem with the Council for National Policy, by the way, I'm trying to say that I do have a problem with them, and they are Judeo-Christians. Now, you should know me as Christian identity, just like Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. Do you have his book, The Synagogue of Satan? Is that a good book, Chris?
Andrew Carrington Hitchcock has done a lot of great research, but I think that his view is myopic.
Yeah, myopic.
I think he has tunnel vision or target fixation, if you will.
Then it must be that the Jews are God's chosen people, what is an explanation to that question? Or I think what you do is spiritualize.
Sure. I would go there. Sure. Well, we should talk about that. Let's talk about that a little bit more on the other side of this break. I think we should go to the Word of God, because if we're talking about that subject, what better resource than the Bible itself? Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Second hour of this Monday, November 21st, 2016 broadcast. And we're on the phones. We have Wes in Idaho on the line. Wes, we're going to have to move on here in a second. The calls are stacking up. But do you want to rephrase or reiterate your question real quick?
What? From the beginning? What is virtue?
No,
what you were just, National
what you were just,
Council?
No, what you were talking about, about God's chosen people before the break, that question, that point.
Okay, well, my big difference with the Council of National Policy is that they are Judeo-Christian. They believe the Jews are Israel. You know, one thing, the whole Bible, is the way I see it, is about who Israel is. And Andrew Carrington Hitchcock wrote the book Synagogue of Satan, and he happens to be just like me. We both look at the Bible the same way, as Christian identity, racial identity is another way of explaining it, as the white race being Israel and the Jews not being Israel. In fact, that is a big political problem with the whole world. You know, the Schofield Bible, we keep honoring these people that attacked the USS Liberty, that caused the World Trade Centers to collapse, that we continue to give all kinds of foreign aid to, that it appears killed JFK. They're behind all kinds of terrible things in this country. They are probably behind the Southern Poverty Law Center. The Jews, that's who I see is head of the snake that needs to be cut off, and I do believe Jesus is going to take a divine intervention to actually eliminate this problem. And I wanted to ask, Chris, are you a politically a libertarian like Ron Paul, who believes that we should not have any borders. That's the way libertarians, from what I believe, Ron Paul was one. That was one of the reasons a lot of people did not like him. He did not turn on the fire of the United States like Donald Trump has, who was talking about borders. I mean, that is one of the biggest reasons that the country did vote with Donald Trump in, is because he is not a libertarian. He is wants to build a wall. He wants to have this country to have borders.
Yeah, and if you follow Sir John Glubb's work on the fate of empires, that's one of the clarion calls of the end of an empire. My politics are more Jeffersonian in that fashion. I wouldn't say that I fall into the Ron Paul bucket that you're trying to lump me into. But on your the identity precepts that you were talking about, and how the Bible talks about, you know, who's who in the zoo, so to speak, I think the book of Romans is particularly instructive. And Romans 2, beginning with Romans 2, I mentioned these words frequently when this discussion arises. Romans 2:28 and 29, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, capital S, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. Skipping ahead, you know, you have, sure, the Old Testament indicates that, yes, there were a chosen people. They were the keepers and the disseminators of the oracles of God, for instance, among other things. Again, Paul talks about that stuff in Romans, as I'm sure you know, Wes. And in Romans 11, Paul talks about this kind of the switch that has occurred for a time, for a purpose, and that's then kind of punctuated by Romans 11:25, which I think is an arc moment. But speaking of the switch, he said, if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive were grafted in among them and become partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root who supports you. So you have these, like he said, you will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. He goes on to clarify. But this grafting in is an interesting concept. And then from Romans 9, as I mention all the time, really kind of to punctuate the whole discussion, Paul wrote, it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Jacob, of course, had his name changed by God to Israel. Jacob's descendants, therefore, are the Israelites, not the Israelis of the what I would call the modern geopolitical contrivance, which masquerades as the biblical Israel, but is clearly not, in my humble estimation. But continuing, Romans 9, verse 7, nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. So, I mean, that really is the end of this discussion there. It's, you said spiritualizing before the break. I wouldn't call it spiritualizing. I would call it biblical orthodoxy. Those are the passages that come to my mind. Do you have passages that come to your mind, Wes, on the subject?
I'm trying to think of the one where Israel was to lose all trace or identity of who they were. They're to be blind to who they were. It hasn't been my biggest concentration. I forgot more than I've known for all these years, but Israel was to be blind to who they 4, and I'm trying to wake them up, and I'm actually going against the Bible and trying to do that. Jesus said he only came for Israel. That is words of Jesus, and anyway.
Right, but what I just said clarifies who's who, right? Romans 2, 9, and 11. I would encourage you maybe to find those passages. I think the Bible is the definitive resource on the discussion if we're talking about who's who from a biblical standpoint. So I would be glad to have that discussion. We're going to have to move on, though, because, like I said, the calls are stacking up. So maybe you could call back with those passages.
Thank you for your time, for giving me the time.
You bet, Wes. Thank you, as always, for your insight and your perspective. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Alan in South Carolina. Alan, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, hello, Chris. I hope Wes is still on.
Hi,
I only
Alan.
Want to just by getting to, I'm not on, I mean listening, encourage him that in that passage he's talking about, I believe Revelation 3, 9, 10, 11, we're told before the second coming to hold fast. So don't just wait for the second coming, Wes. Do what you're instructed to do in the gospel, hold fast. Now, the main reason I'm calling, though, was because a moment ago, Chris, you mused that we're threatened by our success. I just want to make a counterproposal.
Yes.
I believe we're not threatened by our success, especially not near so much as we're threatened by what I would call the socialist notion of the propositional or the theoretical government, as opposed to our founding principles, which were based on the notion of restraint of authority, be it kings or parliaments, which same restraint would extend liberty to the maximum number of persons in the realm. And, of course, I'll say something controversial, just as it's been taught in the educational system, by suggesting to all of you that this propositional notion was first introduced by Mr. William Seward in his Higher Law, if you recall, from the 1860s or 50s, and Mr. Lincoln in his proposition that all men are created equal. And that, again, goes directly against what our founding proposition actually was, simply restrain the government and extend liberty to the maximum number of people.
Could you reiterate that? Because I think that's a very valid point. Would you please?
Well, you mean just in general or in particular one thing?
Yes. No, just in general. I think that's a great observation. I think it bears repeating, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. Well, just in general, that the struggle that we're engaged in today is a conflict between the notion of the socialist propositional government and our actual founding principles, which were based upon the restraint of authority. Of course, being kings in the time of the Magna Carta and later in Parliament, so of course as it developed in England, but also especially here in the United States in our revolution, that our founding principles are based upon restraint of authority, not on some proposition that all men are created equal that had been sort of touted in the Jacobin Socialist Revolution in France. So there's the foundation of your conflict. Mm-hmm. My favorite author on the subject is Dr. Bélint Visagie, who outlined it in America's 30 Years' War, published in the 1990s. Of course, there have been other people commented on the same thing. Perhaps you remember a Dr. Sam Francis who died a few years ago.
I'm not sure that I do, actually.
He was a conservative editorial page writer for the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. He was fired because he became, quote, too conservative or too offensive. You know the routine. Mm-hmm. But he introduced me to the notion of the propositional government back in the 1990s. And, of course, I sort of, like most people who might be listening and yourself, sort of said, well, you know, that has a good ring to it, but what the heck are you talking about? But anyway, it's not just a obscure, pedantic or stilted notion. There are a lot of people out there explaining it and advocating that that's our problem, and I'm just one of many, a student of their thought myself. But the propositional government forces people to conform to their theory. And some of the more familiar people that we know of in recent history who advanced such things were Adolf and his National Socialists, Joseph and his Bolsheviks, Chairman Mao, Fidel, and all the rest of the socialists and communists who have plagued the world in the last 50 and 100 years or so. Well, you know,
isn't that precisely what the communitarians are advocating, though?
Well, when you say communitarians, is that a word that they're using now to sort of dress themselves up from communists, or is that one you yourself embrace?
No, that wouldn't be a dressing up of communism.
Well, you say it would be or would not be. I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch it.
Would not. Would not.
Well, because I think I have not run my course on this right now, not to beleaguer
okay.
the point.
All right.
Just, you know, we're not under assault. We're not afraid of, don't be afraid of our success, Chris. Our success is well.
Oh, I'm not afraid of it by any means. I just think that.
Oh, I didn't mean to be rude or critical in that sense.
No.
Conversation on it.
Absolutely, and I appreciate that. I was
get
just
back to our founding principles will solve all of our problems. And again, those founding principles are based upon the restraint on government, which we've thrown out with the baby in the bathwater, with all these grand visions of group rights, group guilt, and so forth. All of which
right that. Right there, what you said echoes my sentiments precisely. You know, to be victimized by those imaginary things that don't necessarily apply. Again, people we haven't necessarily met, things that happened that we don't necessarily have any connection to other than to learn from them. But like you said, restraint on government, I think, is best illustrated in Jefferson's words in his draft of the Kentucky Resolutions when he wrote, and people don't understand, it doesn't matter if you, as I've said recently, you know, this vigilante justice concept that we've been inculcated in for decades now. When Jefferson wrote, it would be a dangerous delusion were a confidence in the men of our choice, not just anyone, not the folks that we don't choose, but people get lulled into the idea that, you know, this person, the great white savior, the great whatever, you know, this person is going to ride in on a white horse and fix everything. But Jefferson was right when he said it would be a dangerous delusion were confidence in the men of our choice to silence our fears for the safety of our rights. That confidence, as Jefferson put it, is everywhere the parent of despotism. Free government is founded in jealousy and not confidence. It is jealousy and not confidence which prescribes limited constitutions to bind down whom? Bind down those whom we are obliged to trust with power. So as you said, government restraint. And that was my point in the quote attributed to Washington, government is like fire, a dangerous servant, fearful master, that, or troublesome servant, terrible master. Anyway, absolutely, government restraint. And it's supposed to be that when you have a government instituted among men deriving its just powers from the consent of the governed. But how can that happen if the people are what do you call it? Silent partners.
My name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with three shots from the rear and one shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years. Since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Segment of today's broadcast, and it's interesting what's happening in America. It's very similar, I think, to what's happening around the world, which calls to mind that letter, allegedly spurious, from Pike to Mazzini, "We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists." CNN is airing a piece this morning, a little video of an Aleppo resident saying we're not human beings anymore. That's happening around the world. And I agree with your point, Alan, that restraint on government is the key. Whether George Washington said it or not, the words are fitting. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Never for a moment should it be left to irresponsible action. And the people are the silent owners in the social contract, in America in particular. And so, I didn't mean to say that I was fearful of our success, but I think we have been victimized by it somewhat in our apathy and indolence. So anyway, I appreciate your call, Alan. Thank you for your sentiments. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab John in Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, Chris, you know, I've been listening, and because of our apathy and ignorance, we've all bought a ticket to ride this merry-go-round. And the controls are in the hands of the controllers. It's kind of hard to get off the ride and take control of the merry-go-round, if that makes any sense. But I wanted to call and comment on what Wes had said. You know, this British identity or Israeli identity or whatever he said, what came to mind at this very same moment with you was Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 11. Wes, my friend, we take word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept. Let's not miss what we're looking at and find one verse that tends to support what we've been taught or what we believe, but through the Holy Spirit we can see, you know, John 3:17, Chris says, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, folks, it's for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, red, purple, African, Asian, Eastern European, okay? Anyone that accepts Christ, guys, is a Jew. That's why this whole idea of Revelation chapter 2:9 and 3:9 says, Christ told John, I know the blasphemy of those that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. We have one nation on earth right now that is crying daily. We're the Jewish state of Israel. And if we're in the end times, then when they're crying, we're the Jewish state of Israel. We're the Jewish state. Well, you may say you are, but you don't belong to him because he's not your king. You haven't been grafted into that vine. You're not adopted into the family of God. You're not a joint heir with Christ. He's the king of the Jews. So whoever accepts him, if he's your king, hey, guess what, guys? You're of the tribe of Judah. You know, through the circumcision of the heart, how can you wish death on someone that Jesus said he came to save the world if they would have him?
Yep. And Romans 13 is the end of the discussion on that matter, the fulfillment of the law. That'll do it for today. Thanks, folks.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.